All right, hello everyone. Lisa is here. She's just upstairs getting a glass of water. So she'll be joining me in just a moment. I see Lynn's name in the room, but I'm curious, is Lynn really here? If you are Lynn, type yes. If not, I'll know that you aren't here. Yeah, not sure. So that's fine. Lynn knew that Lisa was going to be with me, so Lynn may be focused on her other job. All right, she said she would drop in on her lunch hour. Okay, perfect. Well, we are here for the original edition study group, and we are in Chapter 10. And this week we're going to be beginning Paragraph 13. I have the little book, and it's on page 213. Let me see. I don't know if anybody has the page number for the big book. I have a big book right here. Let me look in it. Do 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 do. There we go. Christmas songs while I look. Do 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 do. Let's see. If you have the big book, it's going to be on page. Would you believe the big? Oh, 198. I started to say, would you believe the big book that I have doesn't have page numbers? But my thumb was covering it. It does have page numbers. I was just blocking it. There we go. So here's Lisa.
Hi, Nikki.
And everyone else.
And everyone else. I'm out of breath. I just ran.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll start with a prayer. I'll say it since you just ran.
Thank you.
Okay. And then you can settle in. And then after that, we'll get started with our study group. All right. Here we go. Holy Spirit, we are, of course, absolutely grateful to be here for this time of listening to you. We seem to be reading from a book. We seem to be speaking or listening to someone speak. But in truth, all communication, all realization, all enlightenment comes from within each and every one of us. We may appear to be reading a book when the realization hits. We may appear to be speaking. Or we may appear to be listening to someone who is speaking. But the realization comes from within. The realization comes from you. The realization comes from that spark of light, that star within, which is the voice for God, which is the voice for our truth, which is the voice for everything that we know, but we have denied through our focus on the ego. Let us take this time to put the ego aside, to listen in acceptance, and to be ready for whatever messages you would give. Thank you for all of your guidance and teaching. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Nikki is saying, is there sound? And Gemini is saying sound is okay. So I guess Nikki will probably reboot or something. Okay, and we are in. I've opened your book
so
to your page.
Do I have to say hi to her again?
Yeah, she didn't. So you can
open my page.
Yeah, open up. We're in chapter 10, and we're starting on paragraph 13, which for you is at the top.
Okay.
Okay. And shall we take turns reading? You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay. You want me to go first, or
sure.
Do you want? Okay. So I'll start, and we'll kind of turn the mic back and forth. I think they can hear us better if we do that. So, all right. So right now, the mic is pointing at me. I'm the center of mic attention. What is the name of this book? It's A Course in Miracles Original Edition. That's the book we're looking at. Okay. Hi, Nikki.
Okay, so hi, Nikki, because I said Heidi before, but I don't know if you heard me. So.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Chapter 10, paragraph 13. The projection of the ego makes it appear as if God's will is outside yourself, and therefore not yours. In this interpretation, it is possible for God's will and yours to conflict. God then may seem to demand of you what you do not want to give, and thus deprive you of what you want. Would God, who wants only your will, be capable of this? Your will is his life, which he has given to you. Even in time, you cannot live apart from him, for sleep is not death. What he created can sleep, but it cannot die. Immortality is his will for his son, and his son's will for himself. God's son cannot will death for himself, because his father is life, and his son is like him. Creation is your will, because it is his. So the thought that is definitely appearing in my mind as I read this paragraph, you know, we're looking at the word death, but every time my eyes landed on the word death today, within my mind it was translated into denial, and that would be denial of our truth. So denial of our truth and death would be synonymous. Denial of the fact that we are life, makes sense, is death, right? Denial of who we are is death. And it is not our will to deny that. It is our will to know that. So we have forgotten our will. And sometimes as Holy Spirit guides us towards our will, if we are very focused on ego, we may think that Holy Spirit is being coercive. But in truth, Holy Spirit is never coercive. And all that really means is in that moment, we're very attached to ego and ego's thoughts. Lisa?
Just yesterday, I was guided to write something along the lines of dying to be alive, to be willing to lose your life to save your life, to lose everything you think you have to save everything you think you have. And then I was guided to read one of the workbook lessons, I believe it was 163, about death in A Course in Miracles, where Jesus was talking about what death really is, and death really is translated to the desire to be other than you are. The desire to be other than you are has many manifestations, and we might think that death is just when we seem to leave a body. But we seek death as our salvation whenever we want something other than what is. Whenever. And we start to suffer whenever we seek something other than what is. And so we die a little, we feel a little of that death, but there is no death. And so in this paragraph, when he talks about that the projection of the ego makes it appear as if God's will is outside of you, the ego is the desire to be other than you are. And so if I am identifying with something other than I am, then what I am will appear to be something separate, something that I don't want. But when I realize that I am suffering from this desire to be other than I am, then I will realize that God's will and my will are the same.
People who watch me often ask me, how is it that I follow guidance so easily? And I'm sure that's an outer perception, you know, that I follow guidance easily. And sometimes I do. Sometimes there's more resistance. But I think what I can honestly say, and I think this is what people observe, is that whenever I receive guidance, I follow it. Regardless of how much resistance I did or did not go through, I follow it. And I think the way that I do that, the secret to that is that I focus on and cultivate my inner, what I call true desire, my inner desire to know myself. And as I focus on and cultivate my desire to know my capital S self, then what happens is when Holy Spirit comes along with a suggestion, with guidance, although at first there may be some resistance to it, I've cultivated my inner desire enough that what I am able to do in a minute, an hour, a week, or a couple of months is I'm able to put that resistance aside and follow the guidance. But the only way that I could do that, I'm pretty sure, is by focusing on the inner desire. If I didn't focus on the inner desire, then I probably would not follow guidance, because I would think that Holy Spirit was trying to take me somewhere I did not want to go. But when I focus on my inner desire, I know that is what I want, and so I see the resistance as resistance to what I truly want, and I'm able to lay the resistance aside and then in the end follow.
Yeah, and also what I have learned was, and this was actually difficult for me at first, really difficult, was at first when I had two seemingly opposing thoughts, I assumed that one of them automatically was Holy Spirit. I had a difficulty at first because I thought, okay, well, obviously one of them is God's will and the other one is not, and how do I tell? And so around and around I would go, and I would give power to each of them, thinking, okay, I'll try this one on, and then I'll try the other one on. And back and forth I'd go until until I was ready to realize that I was suffering, I was very conflicted, and I was willing to pull back and ask for the miracle. Okay, what's going on? I don't get it. Is it that you're telling me to do something and I'm just that resistant? And what ended up happening was Holy Spirit said, when you feel that conflicted, just have the open mind that maybe, just maybe, neither of them are true, and just detach from it and ask for what the truth is instead. And so I found that when there is a conflict, I can just equate it to I'm suffering. I'm suffering. I need not be, and pull back and ask for what the truth is. And I find that when I do that, when I am able to detach from the two thoughts that I think one is the truth and one is not, it may just be a slight change in one of the thoughts that needed to be for me to get back in alignment with what is. So I was judging myself for the conflict, which is not helpful. And then I was sitting there going around and around between two thoughts, which wasn't helpful, until I realized that what I really want is peace. And I really want to feel that peace. And knowing that when I seek God's will and I know God's will, it is known because I'm at peace. So I think that's a key point, because a lot of times it seems like God's will is something that, you know, I'm being told what to do, I don't want to be told what to do, but it's not. It's my true desire, and it's the one that I really want. And so I have to realize that I'm suffering because I think I know what I want, I think who I am. You know, I'm having that attitude when, if I just surrendered to the fact that, and it is a fact, that the Holy Spirit only guides me with what I really want, then that's a level of trust. Yeah. And the more I start to surrender to that and realize that, what am I resisting? This is what I really want.
Right.
I'm just playing games with myself.
Yeah.
So,
okay, your turn to read chapter,
I'll read the next chapter. You cannot be happy unless you do what you will truly. And you cannot change this because it is immutable. It is immutable by God's will and yours. For otherwise, his will would not have been extended. You are afraid to know God's will because you believe it is not yours. This belief is your whole sickness and your whole fear. Every symptom of sickness and fear arises here, because this is the belief that makes you want not to know. Believing this, you hide in darkness, denying that the light is in you. This is what I was just saying, that if I believe that I don't want guidance because I believe that it is something other than my will, then I won't want to seek. But when I realize that it is my true desire, my true will, and I'm a visual person, so I picture the Holy Spirit in my heart, in my chest, in my gut. I picture the Holy Spirit residing in, and even though it's, I'm not in a body, I do this, I picture that. And I picture it in such a way as to say, well, I have between my thinking mind and my heart a bunch of blocks. And I have these blocks, and you know, you can say that the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, as a course would say, but that the Holy Spirit is who I really am, pushing up to be known. And what he's doing is just gently giving me guidance, these suggestions, but it is so foreign to my thinking mind, who sees the blocks, who believes in the blocks. And so I will have that conflict. But when I realize what I really want, and I set that intention every day that I want to heal, now I'm knowing that, okay, whatever is coming up, if there's a conflict, that's the moment I need the miracle. I have identified for a long time with whatever it is that I want to do or I want to see myself as. I'm seeking death. I want to remember who I am. I want to hear the Holy Spirit.
Also, it seems like the more clear I become on what I truly want, the more it hurts to be out of harmony with myself. And because that's really what's happening. That's the honest to God truth about what's happening. We're being out of harmony with ourself, and we can't be out of harmony with ourself without it hurting. So at one time, there was just this underlying stress because I was living a life that wasn't exactly the life I truly wanted, but I didn't know it. And the stress was, I'm going to call it tolerable at that point for me. Yeah, it was reasonable. But that's because I wasn't as aware of what I truly wanted. Now I'm more and more and more and more aware of what I want. And as a result, I cannot tolerate going against my will. It becomes very painful, very quick. And that's actually a good thing. It may not seem fun, but it's a good thing because it knocks you right back into alignment again if you don't want the pain, which I don't. So, yeah.
Just, there's another vision. It's like you're driving on the highway and you have those on the side of the road. And when you fall asleep, you may not really hear it, but then you'll fall asleep and you yes. start to hear it, and then you start to drive on the highway and you're driving and you're wide awake, and then sometimes you fall asleep and you go to the side of the road and you're like, wait, you know, I want to be back.
Exactly.
I want to be awake. I want to know where I'm going and what I'm doing.
That's
I just want to feel that. So
okay,
your turn.
All right, so I'm going to go on to chapter. I mean, I keep doing that.
Yeah, I know.
Paragraph.
Maybe we're supposed to read something out. No, I'm just kidding.
Paragraph 15. Here we go. You are asked to trust the Holy Spirit only because He speaks for you. He is the voice for God, but never forget that God did not will to be alone. He shares His will with you. He does not thrust it upon you. Always remember that what He gives, He holds, so that nothing He gives can contradict Him. You who share His life must share it to know it. For sharing is knowing. Blessed are you who learn that to hear the will of your Father is to know your own. For it is your will to be like Him, whose will it is that it be so. God's will is that His Son be one, and united with Him in His oneness. That is why healing is the beginning of the recognition that your will is His. And, you know, I think that for me, this very first sentence, you are asked to trust the Holy Spirit, is very important because, you know, we can talk until we're blue in the face about the fact that Holy Spirit's yes. will is your will. But the only way to learn it is to take those steps and find out, you know. And at least in my case, some of those first steps did feel a little bit like stepping off of a cliff. And there was a lot of fear. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. But it was through taking those steps that I learned that Holy Spirit really did know that what I wanted. And it is true that Holy Spirit was guiding me in a direction that I would not have picked. But it is also true that that direction has led to increased peace, happiness, joy, knowledge, awareness. You know, so there's no doubt that Holy Spirit was right and I was wrong about what I wanted. But in order to find out and learn that for myself, I had to trust that was true before I had the experience that proved it was true. So it kind of reminds me of the Nike commercial, Just Do It. At some point, we have to put on our sneakers and step out and go where Holy Spirit is asking us to go or do what Holy Spirit is asking us to do, even though we don't know how it's going to turn out. And that's how we learn, is through that practice.
And that is actually also the way that we overcome fear entirely, too. When we resist facing something or experiencing our own truth by believing something we've told ourselves, we just give power to fear. But when we're willing to walk through it, I had an experience, I don't remember which day this was, but I had a thought in my head and it was driving me crazy. I was very attached to a result. And I didn't know what was really making me crazy, except that I knew I had to face it. So I was leaving, and I went to hug Regina goodbye, and I said, I'm going to school now! Because I knew Holy Spirit wanted me to go, wanted me to face this, and was helping me through this. And one of the things that helps me is knowing that the miracle is my right. So I'm going, and I'm going through the process. I may be walking through whatever it is, and being willing to find out what the truth is, but I know that I'm not healing it. I'm not doing it. What I'm doing, my part is just trusting. The analogy that helps me is you can talk about a chair. You can look at a chair. You can have people explain to you why and how the chair will hold you up. But if you've never sat in a chair, you don't really know. You don't really know that the chair will hold you up. So you may have your own stories of doubt or of, no, it doesn't look like it. It looks like it would fall over, or maybe I weigh too much, etc. But you go and you sit in the chair, and now you're having the experience of trusting the chair. All the way in the beginning of A Course in Miracles, which the whole purpose of A Course in Miracles is to get us in touch with our own inner guidance and to rely on the voice for God. immediately we're being asked, start trusting in whatever way you feel you can, in whatever part of your seeming life here that you feel to turn it over, eventually knowing that everything is guided. Everything. So that's all.
Perfect. And let's see, I think I read last. Okay. So you will do...
The willingness for healing. We're filing in another chapter.
Well,
now
section,
you can say it.
Well,
okay, it's not a chapter. I was trying to give it to you.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm wrong, and I might as well admit when we're wrong, right? That's how we heal.
Bah, humbug. Oh, it's just a matter of degrees. No, just kidding. Okay, the willingness for healing, chapter 10, section 3. If sickness is separation, the will to heal and be healed is the first step toward recognizing what you truly want. Every attack is a step away from this, and every healing thought brings it closer. The Son of God has both Father and Son because He is both Father and Son. To unite having and being is only to unite your will with His, for He wills you Himself. And you will yourself to Him, because in your perfect understanding of Him, you know there is but one will. Yet when you attack any part of God and His kingdom, your understanding is not perfect, and what you will is therefore lost to you. The only thing I'll say to that is, in that sentence where it says that you know there is but one will, for me, in this experience of perception, there is a right perception which leads to knowledge. And when people would ask, well, how do you know when something is true? You'll read books, and, you know, as Regina opened us up with in the prayer, we seem to be reading a book. We seem to be listening to someone. And how do we know when something is true? We know it. There is no doubt, no conflict. There's no lack of peace. There is just something within us that says, yes, that's true. Yes, that resonates. And so what we're looking to do is not rely on our thinking mind. We're looking to rely on our knowing, that which is within us. And so in the opening prayer, when she says that our enlightenment is actually coming from within, and the world gets used to help us to awaken to that within, well, once we realize that it is within us, all the way to the beginning of this part of today's reading, where it says that the projection of the ego makes it appear as if God's will is outside yourself and therefore not yours. Well, now it won't appear if God's will is outside of ourselves now. We will recognize that what we're really seeking and tuning into consistently is our will, God's will, within us, within our mind.
Yeah, and the only thing that really jumped out at me that I wanted to speak about was, of course, this paragraph said that if sickness is separation, then the will to heal and be healed is the first step towards recognizing what we truly want. And then the next sentence, every attack is a step away from this, and every healing thought brings it closer. This, for me, is what I would call discernment. Discernment is really learning to look within my mind and learn when I'm thinking with ego, which is attack, and learn when I'm listening to or thinking with spirit, which is moving me in the direction of healing. And really learning to watch my mind, discern between the two, and make a conscious choice not to listen to ego and to always listen to spirit. So, for example, an attack thought is really any judgment. It could be a judgment of a person outside of me, seemingly. It could be a judgment of what seems to be myself. It could just be a judgment of this situation. I could be annoyed by the fact of something right here, right now, that I'm teaching with Lisa instead of Lynn, for example.
Yeah.
that could bother me. And if I choose to sit and listen to that thought and believe that thought, I am moving away from healing in that moment. And one thing I want to become aware of is that that really isn't what I want. That's being out of harmony with myself. And that's why it hurts. That's why it hurts to hold a judgment thought. It hurts because I'm out of harmony with myself. However, if the thought should have entered my mind that I didn't really want to teach with Lisa, I preferred to teach with Lynn, you know, the next thing that Holy Spirit might say is, look at that thought. Notice that judgment. Are you sure you want this?
if I choose to listen to that, my direction is going to be corrected immediately. I'm going to say, oh, no, I don't want that thought. That's a total error. I let it go. I'm happy to be teaching with Lisa. You know, I might open up to, I wonder what the experience of teaching with Lisa is going to be like, which is an opening rather than a closing. And I've completely changed directions. So with every single thought that enters my mind, I'm either moving away from or towards healing. And really my job is to learn to always choose the thoughts that are moving me towards healing, and they're always there at every opportunity. They never leave me no matter what I'm doing in form.
And this is actually a practice, because what starts to happen, at least in my experience, is that let's say I had this idea that, you know, this would have been perfect if Lynn was here, and now Lynn's not going to be here, and it's not perfect, and I miss Lynn, and I want to see her. Just saying, shout out to Lynn. Okay, let's say I had that, and I didn't know that that's what I was thinking. Now I'm focused on the seeming experience, and I'm not aware of what I'm thinking, and now something's not right. Now I might end up snapping at Regina, right, or judging Regina for whatever it is that she ends up saying that maybe Lynn would say, you know, and not know what was causing my lack of peace. And so as I'm tuning in, and this has come with just a practice, but I start to actually hear the thought. I hear the thought, and maybe I don't catch it quick enough before I have a feeling. But then as soon as I have that feeling, I'll go, whoa, what was that? You know, because I'll get that feeling that, no, something's not right. Like, spirit's like, And I'll go back and I'll go, well, what was I telling myself? And that thought will come back around again and say, well, Lynn's supposed to be here. Lynn's supposed to be here. And then I'll have to go, really? I have a preference now. I have a, well, why? You know, it could just be, well, I need Lynn. Maybe I feel more comfortable around Lynn. Okay, well, then just open up to the experience and trust. Knowing that whenever you feel guided to do something, that it's for you and not to you. I just want to say something real quick. Lady of Wisdom, she had said, what if someone is really attacking you? This is a process to understand about attack, but I will just say this one thing, and that is that it was really helpful to realize that everything is just information, just thought. So if I thought that someone was attacking me because they were saying something that seemed to be about me, or that they were doing something that seemed to be for the purpose of hurting me, I had to realize that nothing is personal like that, that it is only my own attack thoughts that hurt me. So if somebody calls me fat and I believe I'm fat, I have that judgment about myself, I hurt. I hurt not because they intended to hurt me. I hurt not because they said that. I hurt only because I believed that and I agreed.
And what happens in your mind if I call you a stapler?
I laugh.
Yeah, nothing.
I laugh.
Because you don't share that thought, right?
No, I maybe once thought I was a stapler, but I no longer think I'm a stapler, and that is an example of a miracle right there. So that there is no attack, but in order to go through the process, one just doesn't say, oh, well, there is no attack, blah, blah, blah. You just open to the idea that, could it be that I am hurting myself, that I'm hurting myself through my brothers, that my brother may even seek to want me to hurt, but that does not hurt me. That is their call for love. If I am looking to hurt myself, that is my call for love. Okay.
Okay.
I think it's my turn, or whose turn is it?
I think you read 16.
Okay, your turn.
Okay. Healing thus becomes a lesson in understanding, and the more you practice it, the better teacher and learner you become. If you have denied truth, what better witnesses to its reality could you have than those who have been healed by it? But be sure to count yourself among them, for in your willingness to join them is your healing accomplished. Every miracle which you accomplish speaks to you of the fatherhood of God. Every healing thought which you accept, either from your brother or in your own mind, teaches you that you are God's son. In every hurtful thought you hold, wherever you perceive it, lies the denial of God's fatherhood and your sonship. And you know, some great examples of hurtful thoughts are the idea that I am victim, or that I am attacked, that someone is mean to me. I have a friend who became upset yesterday because she believed she was mean to me. Now, the interesting thing is I didn't have that perception for a single second. So it was obviously just an interpretation. But she believed that she was mean to me. And then from there, she went into a downfall of ego thoughts, you know, about how horrible she was and all of these kinds of things. But the truth is, you know, even I told her that even that idea of being mean, you know, mean is an interpretation. In the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, in NTI, he tells us that we actually only have two experiences on the spiritual path. Those experiences are willingness or resistance. And that's kind of the same of what we're looking at here. We either have thoughts that take us towards healing or thoughts that take us away from healing, right? And if we are having a thought of resistance, we can interpret that thought of resistance in a lot of different ways. I can interpret that I was mean to you. I can interpret that you were mean to me. I can throw a bunch of interpretations on that. But if I'm willing to take the interpretations away and see that there is only willingness or resistance, and then to remember that what I always want is to choose willingness, then I'm always opening up to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's interpretation of that moment. So any thought that is hurting me is really a thought of resistance, is really a thought of moving away from healing. And what I want to do, since healing is my purpose, is I want to turn those thoughts over to Spirit as quickly as possible and have them reinterpreted for me so I can start moving back in the direction of healing. Okay, what you giggling at?
I'm giggling at Dove. He's showing us the password is willing. The username
is Son of God.
Sounds like a game show or a software program. This is how you heal. You must use this username and this password. In this paragraph, what jumped out at me was that if you have denied truth, what better witnesses to its reality could you have than those who have been healed by it? We tend to make the mistake of seeing someone share the truth, even acknowledging that truth within us, but quote-unquote giving them credit or then putting them on a pedestal or worshiping them.
Being
jealous, envious, and why can't I be like that? You know, or starting to knock them down like, oh, well, they're not all that, you know, or whatever. And we've missed the completion of that healing because the realization that the reason why we did recognize the truth that they were saying was because it was within us. We accept it then for ourselves. We realize that we are one. We are accepting the atonement. So if you're listening to somebody here or you're reading a book that someone wrote, and you're reading it and something resonates with you, remember that that is the truth within you revealing itself.
And Nikki is quoting a pretty good hurtful thought. Why can't I be there with Regina
you
and Lisa?
You are here.